continuing in the appendixes to Hilchas Tfilas HaMincha Halacha Zayin, page 458, left-hand column, about two-thirds of the way down. His galus malchusoi shehu bechinas beisa tato, zet srichen legalois alidei hu avoido boilam haze, shenivra bishvil ze kanal. Revealing Hashem's malchus, which is the concept of the beisa tato, the lower beisa mikdosh, that's done through our serving Hashem in this physical world, which was created for this purpose, to glorify the malchus of Hashem. Aval hasogas oirai sodati kostimo shibchinas beisilo, whereas reaching a deep understanding of the hidden parts of the Torah, the loftiest parts of the Torah, which is called Torah v'atikostimo, that's the concept of Beis Ha'ilo, the upper Beis HaMikdosh, Ze Bechinas Olam Haba, that corresponds not to the physical world, but rather that corresponds to the future world. Shehi Bechinas Bina, which is usually referred to as the Sphere of Bina, because Bina is Sphere number 8. From Chesed through Malchus is 7 Sphirois, corresponding to the physical world that we live in, which was created in 7 days, and is usually guided by the number 7. When we go to 8, we're talking about Olam Haba. We've left this world, we've gone to Olam Haba, which is the 8th sphere, Bina. Avo liyef shalavoy Olam Haba, kim al yidei hu avoyde shebezeh Olam. However, it's impossible for a Jew to get to Olam Haba without going through the serving Hashem in this physical world. As the Gemara says in Avodah Zorah, ki mi shetorach be'erev Shabbos, yoichel b'Shabbos. A person who prepares, who works hard on Erev Shabbos, on Friday, will have what to eat on Shabbos. We know that Olam Haba is referred to as Shabbos, yoim shekulei Shabbos. The physical world that we live in is referred to as the 6 days of the week, which are climaxed by Erev Shabbos. So when the Gemara says a person who prepares Erev Shabbos will have what to eat on Shabbos, the Gemara means a person who prepares while they're physically living in this world, they'll have what to eat in the next world. V'al kein ikra avoidos hatzadikim legalos p'chinas malchus, sheze kol avoidos amozeh olam. And this is why the main efforts of the tzadikim in this world are geared towards revealing the malchus of Hashem. That v'afal pi shebechol pam zoich na yidei zeh lahalo is gam b'chinas beisei lo kanal. And even though we learned earlier that every time that we participate in the tikkun of the beisa tato, the beisa ilo is also affected by it. It's also elevated. Afal pi kein ikur shleimus alias beisa ilo hu be'eis histalkusam. The time when we really affect Beis Ha'ilah is when tzaddikim pass away, when they leave this world. She'oz nistalkin l'chayei Olam Haba. They leave this world and they go up to the life of Olam Haba. Aval oz daiko heim shchichi yatir b'hayalma. However, the Zohar HaKadosh says in Parshas Achrei Mois that when a tzaddik leaves this world, when he passes away, he is more active in this world. He's more involved and more available, in a sense, in this world than he was during his physical lifetime. Because during his physical lifetime, he was bound by a body. He was finite, in a sense. He was in a certain place. Whereas when a tzaddik passes away, he goes beyond those boundaries of space, even in this physical world. He's much more accessible. So that even though on one hand, we do have to go to a certain place to access that tzaddik, we have to go to his grave site, the Zohar HaKadosh still says, Ispashtusa de tzaddikaya b'chol alma, that when a tzaddik passes away, his neshama is nespashet over the entire world, and he's accessible everywhere. If a person concentrates that they want to attach themselves to this Nis Tzaddik who passed away, even if they're not at the grave site, they can definitely connect with that Tzaddik to a certain degree. Ki oz daiko ein lohem biatzmon uvdo vasiyo bazeh olam. Because once the Tzaddik has passed away, then for sure he's not busy with himself in this physical world. Number one, he doesn't have his own physical needs to address at all whatsoever. And even spiritually, for sure he's not addressing his own needs anymore. Rather, rak kol avodosam shom lesakein hatzimtzumim mibchinas olam habo lezeh olam bo'ifen sheyizku kol harachokim lakrois yisporach. But rather, once the tzaddik passes away and he's in olam habo, what is his involvement in olam hazeh? He's involved in making tzimtzumim, in preparing pipelines and kelim, so that the light from olam haba can be transmitted into olam hazeh, to channel light from olam haba into olam hazeh, in order to be mesakein neshamos, in order to help yidden get the refuas and yeshuas and everything that they need in this world. And especially so that those people that are far from Hashem will be zeuche to get to come close to Hashem. That's his main avoida after he's passed away. Just like Rabbeinu Zal says in Likutei Moran, in Torah Resh Tes Vov, in Likutei Moran, if I'm not mistaken, chapter 215, that's a Torah where Rabbeinu Zal, it's a short chapter, but one of the most awesome, powerful chapters of Likutei Moran, where he speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu, he speaks about the tzaddik, that the main avoida of the tzaddik is to be Mekarev Gerim. And that's where he mentions that the tzaddik, Moshe, his name is Mem Shin Hei, which is 345. He is in between 344 and 346. 344 is Shmad, the word Shmad, Shin Mem Dalad, which means total disbelief in Hashem. That's like the furthest away a person can possibly get from Hashem. In other words, that's going out of the bounds of the Jewish religion, Chas V'Shalom. We're going into the, that's the rock bottom. And 346 is Bigematria Rotzoin. The word Rotzoin represents the highest, highest sphere of Kedusha, the Keser, the crown of Hashem, where there's pure satisfaction and where there's the highest level of yearning to connect with Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal says there that this is what the tzaddik is involved during his lifetime, and this is all that he deals with after his passing. If I'm not mistaken, Likutei Moran for a second, the Rabbeinu Zal uses the word only. He is only involved in this. And that's an incredible, incredible, powerful term. The closing words of that chapter on Likutei Moran are, Ki kol avoidas Moshe bechayov v'achshov li'achar Moisei hu rak la'asois gerim kanal. Because the entire avoida of Moshe Rabbeinu during his lifetime and now, after his passing, is only to make gerim. Now, in the word gerim is included also balei tshuva, definitely. Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal use those terms together all the time. But listen to that wording. That's awesome, you know. Kol rak. Those two terms. This is emphasizing that this is mamish, the most important thing that the greatest tzaddikim are involved in. As Rav Nosson Zal says here, sheyizku kol harechokim lahakir oisi yizborach, so that all those who are far from Hashem will come to acknowledge Hashem, come to recognize Hashem. Continuing, back in the Likutei Halachos, page 459. Ki kol ma she'oilin b'malo elyoina, hey mamshichin tzimtzumim b'tikunim koele ad sheyegalu elokus yisborach l'chol harachokim oid. Because the more the tzaddik goes to higher and higher levels, the more he's able to draw tzimtzumim, kelim, and constrictions and pipes with incredible tikunim, whereby he has the ability to reveal Hashem, to bring Hashem to the people who are furthest away, to very, very far. Va'oz daiko yihye nishlam tikun ho'olamos, and then when that's accomplished, that's when all the worlds will have their tikun. Yenivne habeis hamikdash hashlishi betachlis shleimus tikun beis hatato, the third beis hamikdash will be rebuilt to the highest degree of perfection of beis hatato, which will automatically allow it to rise up together with the Beis Oilo, so that both of them will be united. The lower Shechina, the upper Shechina, the Beis Hamikdash in this world, and the upper Beis Hamikdash all together. ki ikar hatikun al yedei hamishkon vabeis hamikdash. Shehu ikar bechinas beis hatato shenikra oyel moed. Because the main tikun of Yiddishkeit, of Klal Yisrael, of all the worlds, is via the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, which is the essence of the Beis HaTato, which is called Oyel Moed. Moed referring to a place of unification. Sheshom Nizvadu V'Niskansu Kol Nafshos Yisrael Yachad. That's the place where all the Jewish souls come together, gather together, and unite. Shaydeze Daika Yecholim La'asos Kelim Lekabel Oyer Hoein Soif. And that's what enables the tzaddikim to be able to create Kelim for the infinite light of Hashem, and so that Klal Yisrael should be able to receive that infinite light. Shezeh Bechinas Tikkun Shkolim Shenosnu B'Shas HaMinyan. This is one of the explanations regarding the Shkolim, which the Jews gave at the time that they were being counted, which went towards the building of the Mishkan and the maintenance of the Mishkan. Those Shkolim, those half shekels, which, by the way, we're coming to it very, very soon. This Shabbos is going to be Parshas Yisroi, and very shortly we're going to have Parshas Shkolim coming up, where each Jew gave a machtes shekel to show, number one, unity, that none of us is a whole, we're all half. I need another Jew to make me whole, number one, the unity of Klal Yisrael, and again, that money was given towards building the Mishkan and maintaining the Mishkan. Now, Rav Nosson Zal is going to involve us in the topic of Rabbi Akiva again. He touched on it much earlier. And keep in mind that this is appendixes. This is not the standard flow of Likutei Halachos. Rav Nosson Zal is giving us bits and pieces, sort of. Ki Rabbi Akiva hoya be'ez ha'churban. We know that Rabbi Akiva lived during the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Val yodoi hischil miyad ikra tikun anal. And it's through Rabbi Akiva that as immediately after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, immediately the tikkun of the Beis HaMikdash was put into progress. Al yidei shenestalek al kiddush Hashem, through his passing away al kiddush Hashem, shezeh bechinas ma shetzrichen lechavin bechol yoim shtei pomim kel nekomois Hashem la'sora harugei malchus sheikrom Rabbi Akiva v'chulu. Rav Nosson Zal says, this is part of the super important reason why the Arizal says that when a yid says hoidu in Shachris, and towards the end of hoidu we have the sentences kel nekomois Hashem, Kel Nekomo Isoifia, Hinose Shoifei Toretz, Hoshev Gmul Al Goyim. Well, we mentioned that Hashem is a vengeful Hashem, and Hashem will take revenge for the Goyim. At that, when a person says those Kel Nekomoises, they're supposed to be Mechavan for the Asora Haruge Malchius, especially those 10 awesome tzaddikim, the 10 rabbis who were killed, who died Al Kiddush Hashem. They were murdered in savage ways by the Roman Emperor, who wanted supposedly to avenge the deaths of the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik. I recall that the Arizal brings that Reuven, when in the story of Yosef HaTzadik, when Reuven is the one who made the suggestion, let's throw him into a pit. You know, let's not kill him ourselves, we'll throw him into a pit, you know, and so we won't dirty our hands, you know. And then he left. Reuven left. When he came back and he checked the pit and he saw Yosef HaTzadik wasn't there, he was horrified. And he said the words, Va'ani ono ani vo. And now, like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And he said these words, Ono ani vo. Ani ono ani vo. The Arizal says that these words we just quoted here from Hoidu, Kel nekomois Hashem, Kel nekomois Sofia, are the first letters of those six words make up the words ono ani that Reuven said. This is a remez that in this sentence we're reminding ourselves of the fact that the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik sold their brother into slavery. As a result, the penalty was that they had to come back begilgul as the 10 Harugei Malchus, the 10 great rabbis of the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva and his friends, who were killed, you know, in horrible ways by the Romans at that time. And this pasuk, we take note, we note the fact that we know that there's going to come a time when Hashem is going to avenge their murders from the Romans. Again, They're not such goody-goodies that they're only doing the bidding of Hashem and that's all. So again, we said here, Mashitzrichin lechavin b'chol yoim shtei pomen keil nekomois Hashem, keil nekomois Sophia, la'sora hurga melchis. When a person says that, they're supposed to have in mind these 10 great tzaddikim who were put to death by the Roman government. Ki gdoilim ma'ase Hashem, because the actions of Hashem are awesome. Ki Rabbi Akiva sorku es psoroi, because the Gemara says that they raked the flesh of Rabbi Akiva with metal combs, umecharuhu b'makoilin, and they sold it by the pound, like on a scale, in a butcher's market. Rachman al Islam. That's the wording in the Gemara Menachos. Sha'al ze shoal Moshe, about this Moshe Rabbeinu asked, zu Torah v'zu schara? When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to receive the Torah, and he saw Rabbi Akiva darshaning every crown on the top of every letter of the words. So he said, Hashem, well, why are you giving the Torah through me? He's a billion times bigger than me. So Hashem said, Shtoik, be quiet, this is my will. And then Moshe Rabbeinu asked, can I see what his reward is going to be? And they showed him Rabbi Akiva's flesh being torn by him by these metal combs. So the Gemara says, he said, Zu Torah, this is the reward for learning Torah, Chas v'Shalom. V'ato Cult. This story appears in Brachas Taf Samach Aleph Amid Beis, and it's also mentioned in Menachas Taf Chavtes Amid Beis. V'ato kol tikvosenu al yidei elu hatzadikim shenizgale kvurasam. And now, today, our only hope, our salvation, depends on the grave sites of these great tzadikim, which we've become aware of, which we know of today, such as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, Rabbi Akiva, who's buried in Tveria on a mountain with all his 24,000 students, overlooking the Kinneret. Shehem Ye'oiru es Moshe Raya Mehemna, so that they will wake up and turn on Moshe Rabbeinu, the trustworthy shepherd. Sheyischabru Yachad Lasik B'tikunenu, that all these tzaddikim together in heaven should involve themselves in our tikkun, in bringing us to, helping us come to our tikkun. Because regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says nobody knows where he is buried. Because who do we have that's greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? Where the Gemara says in Sota Daf Yud Daled that Hashem himself was involved in Moshe Rabbeinu's funeral. The Shechina itself carried him from one place to the other, etc., transported him. And that's why we can't get to the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu represents the infinite light of Hashem relative to us. It represents a light that would be too blinding for us in this world. And it's all because of the fact that Klal Yisrael were nichshal through Bilam HaRosha in Znus, in Shittim. That's one of the reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu has to be buried in that place. The Gemara says he's buried opposite Beis Po'er. So that whenever that Avodah Zarah, every year, when that time comes around, when the Jews committed the sins with the Benoi Smoyev at that time, and that Avodah Zarah tries to go and prosecute the Jews in heaven, it sees the gravesite of Moshe Rabbeinu opposite it, and it shrinks back. It just goes back into its hole. Shal yidei ze pogmu kol kach ad shemoish rabbeinu biatzmo yitzorech lasik betikun avoyin poer asher lo hitarnu mimeno. Whereas, because of the fact that the Yidden were nichshal in non-Jewish women at that time, this caused such a tremendous pigam that Moshe Rabbeinu himself has to be involved in the tikkun of that pigam of poer, which we have not yet been completely purified from. Aval, yef shalonu lovei al kivroi. However, we cannot get to the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu, ki al yidei ribui pigomenu, because unfortunately, based on our sins, based on how defective we've become, the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu is a bechin of oirein soif to us. It's too many watts. We would not be able to handle the wattage, at the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu. interesting, while we're on the topic, there was once a person, a sarcastic person, who wanted to challenge one of the Breslov Hasidim in Uman. This person lived in Uman. And he said to him, if your Rebbe is so great, your Rebbe is Bechinas Moshe Rabbeinu, then how come we know where his kever is? By Moshe Rabbeinu, it says we don't know where his grave is. How come your Rebbe, we can go to his kever? Powerful question. So the Breslov responded to him. He said, tell me, you live here? You live in Uman? Yes. He said, have you ever been to the kever? He said, no. He said, you just answered the question. Now, it's implying that Rabbeinu Zal's Tzion, even though we know where it is, it's still very, very hidden. And even today, that this was said 50 years ago when there were 3.5 people going to Rabbeinu Zal's Tzion. Today, when there are 30,000 people going, we know that Rabbeinu Zal's Tzion is still very hidden, because compared to the numbers in Klal Yisrael, compared to the millions of Jews today who don't yet recognize this kever, the chashivas of this kever, it's still considered very hidden. And there are a few chapters in Likut Imran where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about Kivrei Shel Moshe, and the Meforshim, Rab Nachman Shirin Zal especially, the Parpores L'Chochma, draws parallels to Rabbeinu Zal's Tzion, you know, for us to know that the way the Gemara speaks about Kivrei Shel Moshe, that's how we feel to a large degree about Rabbeinu Zal's Tzion. V'chol zeh machmas she'oz adayin lo yinichnesu l'Eretz Yisrael v'lo'idniv le'beis hamikdash she'hu ikar beis hatato. All of this, what happened at Shittim and Moshe Rabbeinu's Pes, was all because the Yidden had not yet entered into Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis Hamikdash had not yet been built. V'yalkein hoya be'emes esek ha'geula shehoya idei Moshe koshemoid. And therefore, for Moshe Rabbeinu to bring about the geula for Klal Yisrael, the complete and final redemption, was very, very difficult. Ki efsher lahamshecho or bepamachas ki malide kamo his galus v'halomois bedrochem neflom kanal, because it's impossible to introduce a very, very bright light in one shot, but rather it has to be done very gradually, where a little bit is introduced, then it's closed, then it's reopened, then it's closed. And when we have to be able, when the tzaddik has to bring about all of these tikkunim via human beings who have bechira, koshe ma'oid, that's very difficult. That's most difficult. Because when we're dealing with human beings, unfortunately, not only aren't they always doing good things, but sometimes they're doing bad things, and then not only are they not moving forward sometimes, but chas v'shalom sometimes they're going backwards. Rak shekiyum ha'olam al yedei hatzadikim she'omdim b'nisayon habchira. However, the existence of the world and the continuation of this process is through the great tzadikim who are zeichet to pass the tests of this world. Avol, Rav Nosson Zal says, however, ha'oishek yoholel chacham. This is a very famous pasuk that's mentioned often in Rav Nosson Zal's forum. Unfortunately, the turbulence and the struggles sometimes even mess up a chacham. They're even mevalvel the chacham. Shegam heim shoygim al yidei ze eze shkiyatana. Meaning, all the tzaras that Klal Yisrael put Moshe Rabbeinu through, and all their complaints, and all the craziness and insanity that went on, sometimes it went so far as to even to drive Moshe Rabbeinu to make a shkiyadak, to make some type of microscopic error. K'moshe shogo, Moshe b'hakos atzur, as we find in the case of striking the rock, and as the pasuk says in Tehillim, usvivav, Nisaro Mo'oid, that in the immediate circle around Hashem, there things are very stormy, referring to the great tzaddikim. V'alkein, yet you're referring to the fact that by the great tzaddikim, sometimes even a microscopic error causes major upheavals. V'alkein, yesh lehem yegiois atzumois mo'oid mo'oid l'saknenu. And this is why the great tzaddikim have incredible struggles to be able to be misakin us. Ubefrat Moshe shehoyo harishayim sheoz koshem oid lesakin hatzimtzumim koroi. Especially Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the first leader of Am Yisrael. In other words, after they became a nation coming out of Mitzrayim. Where, when you're first starting out, it's very difficult to be misakin the tzimtzumim that are needed to receive the light of Hashem. Ve'ilu lechatu Yisrael, and if the Yidden hadn't committed sins, it still would have been difficult. Avol chatu basora nisyonos. However, the mission says in Perkei Avos, Klal Yisrael failed 10 major tests, Rachman al-Tzlan. And unfortunately, this necessitated that the Beis Mikdash had to be destroyed. And it still requires tremendous, tremendous effort that Klal Yisrael should be zeched to return to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild the final Beis Mikdash. Al kol ponim. I'm sorry. This is still talking about the first Beis Mikdash. No, I'm sorry. Beis Mikdash had to be destroyed once, and then it still took major, major effort for Klal Yisrael to get back in Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis Mikdash, meaning to get to the second Beis Mikdash. I'll call upon him, at least. So that even though that second Beis HaMikdash would eventually also be destroyed and Klal Yisrael go into Golus another time, still, the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was already built twice is a major, major tikkun, and it paved the way tremendously to make things easier for the third Beis HaMikdash to avenge and final Beis HaMikdash to be finally rebuilt. Adarabba, gam hach, I'm sorry, not only that, but the destruction will turn around and become a tikkun. The Churban Beis HaMikdash will itself become a tikkun. As we know that when a person does tshuva, the sins become mitzvahs. V'ze b'chinas mizmor la'osof. And this is also tied into what the Gemara says, that there's a chapter in Tehillim which speaks about the Churban Beis HaMikdash and all kinds of suffering of Klal Yisrael, and it begins with the words, a song to Asaf. The Gemara says, a song, kina la'osof miboyle. That chapter should begin with the word, kina la, a lamentation to Asaf. Elos, the Gemara says, no. We celebrate the Churban Beis HaMikdash because had Hashem not destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, He would have destroyed us. The fact that Hashem vented His anger on sticks and stones, you know, on a physical building, that was our Yeshua. Sheshofa chamosay al eitzim vavonim, as the Gemara says. So now Rav Nosson says, v'koshe, but hold on a second. Haloi nizkar shom gam misas hatzadikim. There's another issue in that chapter in Tehillim. It doesn't only talk about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it also talks about the passing away of tzaddikim. As it says over there, Nosnu es nivlas avodecho, Michael loif hashamayim. They gave the carcasses of your servants, the corpses of your servants became food for the birds. Besar chasidecho l'chai soyoretz, the flesh of your tzaddikim was eaten by the animals, by the wild animals. So hold on a second. You're telling me the Churban Beis HaMikdash, okay, we know that in a way it was a positive thing because that saved us from it. What about the murder of tzaddikim? Ach kol zehu tikun al yidei kol anal. However, all of this is part of the process of tikun. Churban Beis HaMikdash, passing away of great tzaddikim, this is all part of the tikkun. V'alkein, koidem binyam beis hamikdash harishoin, kol yegiosoi shel Moshe hoya sheibona. And that's why before Klal Yisrael was zeichet to the first beis hamikdash, all of Moshe Rabbeinu's efforts were directed at getting towards that goal, getting him into Eretz Yisrael, getting a beis hamikdash built. He knew how critical that was, even if it would be destroyed eventually. He knew how critical it was to start that process because of all the things we explained earlier, that the Beis HaMikdash is the main place of the Tzimtzum where that Oyer Ein Soif comes into Kalim and etc., etc. V'al kein lo yoda ish es kvurasoi, And that's why nobody knows where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. Me'oitzam gdulosoi lo'inesasek boi ela kodesh baruch hu. As because Moshe Rabbeinu was so great, no Jew was qualified to be oisek in the kvura of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ume'oitzam pigomenu, as a result of the fact that we were so messed up. She'im yodu kvurosoi hoye b'chinas ribu yoyer she'gor m'churban. Because if we would know where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried, and if we would go there, the light would blind us. It would be harmful in a sense. The light is so bright for us because we are pogum. Alkein lo yodaiish. That's why the Torah says nobody knows where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. V'zeh shomrazal. This is why the Gemara says in Soita Daf Yud Gimel shezeh machmas ma'ase shitim. That one of the reasons is because he's buried opposite Beis Boer, because of the sin we did in shitim, because we were nichshel in znus with non-Jewish women. So Rav Nosson Zal says, Shnei hem emes. Both concepts are true. Number one, ki hoyo machmas gedul osoy, that one reason why we don't know where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried is because of the unbelievable bright light. It's such an incredible light that we wouldn't be able to handle it. And number two, umachmas kilkulam. And because we messed up so badly that Moshe Rabbeinu has to be in such a place where he can be misaking the Avodah Zarah of Po'er, etc., etc. V'hakoyl, machmas shadayin lo nichnesu l'Eretz Yisrael v'lo nivne beis mikdash kanal. How is it possible for all of that to happen? Because Klal Yisrael had not yet been zoicha to go into the Eretz Yisrael and build a beis mikdash. They were still so fresh, in a sense, and therefore they were so vulnerable. Rachman al-Sam. Aval achar ha-churban ha-sheni, hischil tekef ha-binyan ha-shlishi kanal. However, Rav Nosson Zal says, even after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, immediately afterwards, we started the process of the tikkun of the Bayis Shlishi. Ki oz higiu le-tachlis ha-miyot. Because that's when Klal Yisrael reached rock bottom, the lowest places. Shehu hagolus ha'oruch hamar hazeh, which is this long, bitter exile that we're going through today. V'alkein hischil tekef hatikun. And that's why as soon as the second Beis Mikdash was destroyed, right away the tzaddikim start the process of trying to prepare the third Beis Mikdash. And this is why Hashem, with his incredible kindness, made circumstances come about that this great tzaddik Rabbi Akiva came into the world. Sha'om Razal, where the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Shehoya Godoil mi Moshe b'chochma, that Rabbi Akiva was even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu in Chochma. As the Gemara says there, Banaviim loikom Navi kemoshe. There was never a prophet as great as Moshe, but a Chacham there was. Umanoi Rabbi Akiva, vehu himshich haTorah liYisrael, and he brought the Torah to Klal Yisrael. He taught Torah to thousands of Talmidim. Ubeinyan misosoi hoya behepach miMoshe, and when Rabbi Akiva passed away, it was the opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, was so great that the only one who dealt with his funeral was Hashem himself, because of the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Uboi lo hisasku afilu Yisrael. And when it came to the death of Rabbi Akiva, no Jews were involved in his funeral. Adarabas sarku es psoroi, but rather the Romans tore his flesh, they raked his flesh with these metal combs, umachru es psoroi b'makoilin, and they sold his flesh in the butcher stores. V'ze me'oitzem gedulosoi. This is also a reflection of the awesome greatness of Rabbi Akiva. V'chulu. Umeyacha shekvar hoya. This topic is discussed in several places in the Kisvei Arizal. The passing away of Rabbi Akiva, the Asor HaHoruge Malchius, and it's referred to as the highest, among the deepest secrets, and it represents reaching up to the highest places in Shemayim, the highest places of Rachmonis, of Hashem. The Arizal says, for example, that on Shabbos at Mincha time, which we know is called Raiva Deraivin, Rotzon Sheberetzonis, the highest level of Rachmonis, the highest level of Kiddusha of the entire week, in the Mincha Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbos, we have seven brachas, like in all the Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbos. The middle bracha is just one paragraph. Ato echod v'shimcho echod mikam chayisrog echad boretz. That paragraph concludes with the words v'al menuchasom yakdish v'shimecho. And with their resting place, they sanctify the name of Hashem. The Arizal says that when a person says those words, v'al menuchasom yakdish v'shimecho, he should be mechaven to the Asorah Harugei Malchius. Because they are this concept of Raiva Derivan, their passing away generated such a Kiddush Hashem, such thunder in heaven, that thunder, that rumble, continues throughout all the generations. That activated a level of chesed, a level of light in heaven, you know, higher above almost anything else. And the Gemara makes reference to it also. The Gemara mentions it in one place also, this concept of the Asorah Harugei Malchus, that no one can come into their mechitza. They are in such a high place in heaven, no one can go close to them because of the way they sanctified the name of Hashem, how they accepted upon themselves, you know, that Misa Mishnah, the Misa Mishunas of the, they could have stopped it. We see by Rabbi Akiva, his students said to him, you know, it says that he was, that when the Romans were taking him out to be killed, so his students said to the Rebbe, you know, are you going to allow this? They knew who Rabbi Akiva was. They knew that Rabbi Akiva could take one look. If he flicked on the switch and he looked at the Romans, that would have been the end of all of them. So Rabbi Akiva said, sorry guys, I've been waiting for this my whole life. My whole life I said Shema Yisrael Hashem Echod, you know, b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol meidecha, to serve Hashem with my whole nefesh, and I was waiting to give my nefesh for, now I have an opportunity, I'm not going to pass up on it. So the Arizal says, what was this all about? He's saying Shema, they tell him, you know, the Arizal says that in the Shema is the name of Hashem that Moshe Rabbeinu used to kill the Mitzri in Mitzrayim, in Parsha Shmois a few weeks ago. If you recall, right after he killed the Mitzri, the following day, it says he saw two Jews fighting, and he said to one of them, Russia, lama sakereyecha, Russia, why are you striking your friend? So they heard that. They said, halohorgeni atoimer, did you say that to kill me? Kasher horakto esamet, like you killed the Mitzri? That's the wording in Chumash. Halargeni ato oimer. Did you say that? The Arizal says, what's going on here? The Arizal says, they saw when he had killed the Mitzri. They saw how he killed the Mitzri. He used a name of Hashem, the Shem Tov Chof Hei. That word, Sake, Tov Chof Hei, is one of the names of Hashem. It's one of the words in the Shem Ayin Beis of Hashem. So when they heard him say, Rosh Shalom HaSake Reecha, they said, uh-oh, he's doing it again. He's putting another bullet in his thing. So the Arizal says that when Rabbi Akiva was saying Shema, his students said to him, we know what you're going to do. We know you're going to have your neshama go at Echad. No, don't stop. Say the words, V'yohavto, Eis, Hashem, Elokecha. The last letters of the three words, Eis, Hashem, Elokecha, are Tof, Hei, Chof, that name of Hashem. They knew that if Rabbi Akiva keeps going, it'll be the end of all the Romans. Rabbi Akiva said, Sorry, I have this opportunity. I can't give it up. I have an opportunity. I didn't look for this. They're doing to die al kiddush Hashem in this way. So it says his neshama left him at Echad. That's the sit. Why do we have to know neshama? What difference is it that it left at Echad or it left three lines later? Because had he gone four words later, it would have been the end of the row. He would have activated this special name of Hashem, and it would have been the end of all the Romans. But Rabbi Akiva knew that this was the Rotzon of Hashem. The Rotzon of Hashem was for these 10 great tzaddikim to be murdered in this way, which would be a tikkun for the 10 sons of Yaakov Avinu, who had sold Yisvat Tzadka slave. And the zechus of these Asura Harugei Malchus would be what would sustain Klal Yisrael throughout all the generations. Every Yom Kippur in Musaf, we recite the awesome paragraph, Eila Ezkara, we remind Hashem of the 10 great tzaddikim who were murdered. We say it on Yom Kippur, and we say it on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, Churban Beis Hamikdash, the birth of Nishmas Moshiach. The Churban and the Tikkun, right side by side. U'me'achar shekvar hoya Beis Hamikdash pamayim, oz ha'tikun daiko al yidei ha'guf shel ha'tzadik shenishnar bozeh ho'ilam. And by Rabbi Akiva, once there was a Beis HaMikdosh, during Rabbi Akiva's time, he was, during the Churban Beis HaMikdosh, there was a Beis HaMikdosh ready. During his time, the tikkun is different. During Moshe Rabbeinu's time, the tikkun is that, where is the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu? It's nowhere. We don't know. We can't get to it. By Rabbi Akiva, because there was already a Beis HaMikdosh in the world, the tikkun by him is that the guf of the tzaddik remained in this world. And Rabbi Akiva, we know where he's buried. He's buried in Tveria on that mountain. And then the next paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal is going to move into Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, the main student of Rabbi Akiva, who was the tikkun for the 24,000 students, etc.